Welcome to Sustainably Influenced, the podcast hosted by me, Bianca Foley,
and me, Charlotte Williams.
In this podcast, we explore our efforts to making changes to our lifestyle as influencers to live a more eco-conscious lifestyle and hope that we can encourage you to make one small change. This isn't just a podcast for influencers. We want this to be a community of people who are trying to do their bit, where we can learn from one another and share our tips. So join in the conversation over on our Instagram at Sustainably Influenced. Hello everyone, welcome back to Sustainably Influenced. This week we're discussing Fashion Revolution Week. So this week is Fashion Revolution Week. We're recording real time and it runs from the 20th to the 26th of April. Today is the 24th of April and this is when the episode will go live. And it's Fashion Revolution Day. And it's also the anniversary of the Rana Plaza disaster in Bangladesh, where 1,134 people tragically lost their lives 7 years ago, many of them being garment workers. 29 brands were held accountable or kind of called out as part of the disaster. And it kind of led to a greater question to being asked of the fashion industry. So Fashion Revolution is a non-governmental organization and they kind of have teams all over the world. I think it's over 100 countries. And their vision is for a global fashion industry that conserves and restores the environment and values people over growth and profit.
What a lovely introduction.
Thanks. Been sitting here doing my research, so I thought I'd give a nice kind of like opening statement about what we're talking about today.
Yeah, that's good. It's really interesting though, because just a disclaimer here, you know, well, if you're new, you don't, but generally, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know, we're learning on the go. So yeah. Everything that we talk about and every podcast episode we have, we try to learn from it and, you know, go on. So this was a really interesting episode because we had to do a lot of research to make sure that we knew what we were talking about. But then it's definitely helping us with our sustainable journey. So this is great.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about Fashion Revolution and what it is that they're kind of aiming to do. And we can talk about the transparency index that's come out as well. Mm-hmm. That's big news this week in the ethical sphere. So Fashion Revolution's aim is to end human and environmental exploitation. We know that there are huge amounts of brands that still operate in that way. The garment workers are working in really inhumane conditions in a lot of factories across the world. And Fashion Revolution want to kind of instill safe and dignified working conditions and living wages. That's another huge thing. I was listening to some statistics that some factory workers are getting like 24p a day. That's just insane. That's not even a Tesco's croissant that I'll buy in the morning. They'd have to work 3 days to buy that. Like, just putting it into perspective for myself.
That's insane. I watched a video the other day, actually, about, it was a YouTube video. I can't remember who it was, but this woman was talking about the different ways that we could raise factory workers' wages with and without changing the price for the consumer. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting. There are so many ways that we can actually do that. Some of them with raising, you know, it's raising their price, but then like keeping everything else still. And then the other one was raising the, you know, the wage to maybe like €2 a, she used euros as an example, €2 a day. And then lessening, you know, the agency fees and some of the other fees that come in. And when you looked at it, like, yeah, they shouldn't be making more than the people that actually make the goods. And it was just so interesting because the ways that she showed, some of them meant that there was no cost to the consumer. And it was just like, why aren't we doing this? I know it, you know, pennies make pounds. And I do understand, you know, that everyone has targets they have to reach, but humans, people, we are working with humans. This is not robots. And until you find robots that can do, you know, that what humans are doing, like pay people for their, I don't want to swear, do we swear on this podcast?
I mean, it's up to you. We can swear, we can
for their time. It's insane.
And the other thing that they're looking to do is to kind of change culture and like of businesses and make transparency and accountability a bigger deal than it is currently, because there are so many brands that are still not really honest or open about what it is they're practicing. And they want it to go across the value chain, not just at the point of one when something's super looking like, looking super glossy in a store, and that's when they're talking about it. They need to be transparent from the first point of when the product's being made or how the fabrics are being sourced. And they want to end throwaway culture, which is something that I think is so important. We need to get away from this twice wearing like one piece of clothing. What is it in London that they say that the average item of clothing is only worn, what, 3 times or something ridiculous?
Yeah, it's insane.
But yeah, so that's kind of a background to Fashion Revolution, if you don't know. You got anything you wanted to add on that, Charlotte?
Yeah, looking through I looked through the Fashion Index and it was really, well, the report, and it was really interesting. But one of the points you mentioned was about transparency, and I think that's what we're going to talk about a lot today. But it's quite interesting to read the report and could be quite confusing to consumers, because a lot of brands were shouted out for being, you know, really transparent and others aren't, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're sustainable.
Exactly.
I think, and a lot of people, which we have been discussing off microphone, and we'll go on to talk about them in a bit, but a lot of people have, in the sustainable kind of area, have brought this up, and it's so true and confusing that we are commending brands for being transparent but not necessarily for doing good.
Exactly. Exploitation still happens no matter how transparent you are.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're telling us that it happens, so that's like commendable for you, but it doesn't mean that it's a good thing that it's happening. Like it's a really weird concept, and it just, for me, it just explains social media in a nutshell.
Definitely.
You know, as long as you're seen doing good, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be good. It's just you're talking about it. So yeah, that's my little 2 cents on that side.
It makes me think of that saying, you're only good as it, like your last miracle kind of thing. It's like, if you're seen to be doing something, therefore you are, but you're not. You're really, you look at like, and that, what is it, like those inspirational posters of like icebergs, where you only see the tiny bit of iceberg above, but it's all the bit underneath, but that's it. It's like the bad guy version of that, where it's the brand looks all shiny and new on the top, but underneath there's all these horrible things going on. But so the hashtag Who Made My Clothes, everywhere at the moment. This week is the week where we ask brands who made my clothes and what's in my clothes, and talk about, I guess, how things are made. And I'm seeing wonderful images coming out of garment workers and holding up a sheet of paper saying, I made your clothes. And you're still seeing people at work, especially in this unprecedented time, because we are recording this again on Zoom because we are in self-isolation. And you're seeing all of these garment workers still going out to work and they're just wearing masks.
Yeah.
And we're all at home and people are wondering like, why do I have to be stuck in the house? But there's people still out there having to work. Yeah. And again, if anything, it really solidifies how crazy the fashion industry can be, even more, even at this time. So go on, babe.
I was going to say, this is the awkwardness of Zoom because we're not together. But I was going to say on that note, to do with shopping habits, just whilst we are, you know, in lockdown and talking in lockdown, to really think about the things that you're purchasing and whether or not it was needed. Because if you think about the people that are going out to work still and essentially risking their lives, and entrusting the companies that they work for to have measures in place to make sure that they are safely working, for the people who are making things, for the people who are delivering, for the people in the warehouses that are sorting, you know, those people are really important right now and they're really busy. People haven't stopped shopping.
Exactly.
Which is worrying.
Pretty Little Thing saw a 400% increase in the first 2 weeks, I think.
That actually makes me feel sick.
It's crazy.
Like, I understand weeks, like, I did a little bit of shopping when lockdown first hit, because I don't have loungewear clothes. So I was which is crazy. So I have loads of dresses, like really nice dresses, and that's probably about it. So I ordered a few, like, I'm gonna put my hands up, I've ordered a few bits from H&M for loungewear, because I just wanted to make sure that I was comfortable. We don't know how long it's gonna go, but I haven't really ordered anything since, and I don't really need to because I'm not going anywhere. So it's just quite worrying that people are buying like full outfits, like, and stuff.
Going out clothes.
Yeah.
Get out, huh?
It's just confusing, but I just think about what you're, I would never judge anyone. I just really want people to take a minute to think about when you do make purchases, what does that look like on the other side? As a consumer, sometimes we take away the journey and we just see our experience. But if you think about the other side and what other people are experiencing, if you think about it, it's just a bit, it's sad. Yeah. So
I know we're going off on a slight tangent, but just off the back of what you've just said, yesterday I was looking at Instagram and an influencer who I follow posted this Facebook group that she is part of. I think she did it for work, so she needed to check and see some kind of like customer reviews. And customer reviews at the moment are horrific. It's as if people have forgotten that there's something going on that exists outside of their four walls. And reviews saying, oh, XYZ brand didn't pack half of my order and they cancelled half of it and they've refunded me instead of trying to replace the order. Yeah, because stores aren't able to ship things because they don't have product because things aren't being made or they can't get it brought into the country and there's a pandemic. So
it's gross. I've seen a lot of comments like that on, there have been a few, a few big retailers, like British retailers that have closed and they've now reopened. And they refunded people and they were as quick as they can. But, you know, it's unprecedented. It's quite a crazy situation. And the comments on some of their posts were disgusting. Like people, it genuinely confuses me how the general public see things, because they were just like, I need this stuff. I can't believe, you know, I've been refunded for my goods. Okay, Sally, I'm sorry. I don't think you need that jumper. Like you want it, you don't need it. And the fact that you've been given your money back, you know, that's fine. You haven't, like, it's not an inconvenience to you financially, so you shouldn't have to worry. Yes, this is a tangent, but it's just, oh, it makes people sick.
It's disgusting. There's a study, I've forgotten the guy's name, Elmo something, but he says there's like an, out of everything that we buy, we really only need 10%, and 90% of everything that we purchase as consumers is a want. And when you start to break that down, you can see how little you can really live with and be quite comfortable. Mm-hmm. Everything else is extra. But yeah, let's get back to the topic.
You haven't heard of this.
And talk about transparency versus, I guess, sustainability. And as you mentioned, the transparency index came out this week and H&M were at the top of that list. Has raised some amazing debates in the ethical kind of sphere and where people are talking on Instagram. And we've just wanted to discuss a couple of posts that we've seen. Do you want to start?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the Livia Firth one because that's the one I saw the other day. So Livia Firth is the founder of EcoAge. And she is quite a, big voice in the sustainability. I don't know how to call this industry. Like, it's not, I'm not saying industry, but area and industry. And she wrote a post 2 days ago, and it was a rant, and a self-proclaimed rant. And it really hit the nail on the head. Disclaimer, I love H&M as a brand. I am a avid shopper there. But I don't pretend that everything that I buy from them is like fully sustainable. Even their conscious collection, I do have questions about, but I'm also not a frequent shopper, and things I do buy, I will probably have for the next 10 to 15 years. So that's how my mindset works. But she wrote about how H&M were the top of the 2020 Fashion Transparency Index. And she used the hashtag who made my clothes as an example. I don't know if I want to go too deep into it, but you can definitely read the post yourself. But she just questions the whole transparency side and how transparency isn't necessarily to do with sustainability. And she uses the word greenwashing, which is something we've spoken about before. But something interesting from that post that I really recommend you'll go read is that she referenced Tom Ford as an example, which on the report was
scored zero.
Scored zero on transparency. But she said that they have never exploited factory workers. So, you know, it's quite, this report is it's a confusing one in the sense that it's great to have to be transparent, but I think maybe we should also be looking at other things, because transparency doesn't necessarily mean anything. You can tell people that you've done wrong, and you can be transparent about that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going on to do good.
What are you doing to fix it?
Yeah, that's my issue with the report. And I'm confused as a new, you know, person in this area. This is my first time. This is my first Fashion Revolution week. And it's my first time looking into this. I'm just a bit like, huh? I don't understand. So maybe in previous years, it's made more sense. But this year, I'm a bit like, I don't really understand this report. And if that's the case. Livia Firth is, she's a bit of a pillar when it comes to talking about sustainability, but that post really sparked something in my mind, because we talk a lot on this podcast about sustainability, obviously, conscious living and ethical living. They don't all mean the same thing. And what we try to promote is just like doing your best to be good.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know, damage the environment and the climate. So yeah, that's my thought on that.
I mean, the transparency index has grown over the years. I think the first time they did it was like 50 brands that they looked at, and now it's 250 brands. So out of 250 brands, they're telling us that H&M are the most transparent. Fine.
Yeah.
They look at a whole bunch of like different criteria, and like they're ranked on policy and commitments, governance, traceability, no show and fix, no as in K-N-O-W, and spotlight issues. And this is where a discussion that we've had previously, just Charlotte and I, not on the podcast, where I've said, sometimes I feel like you need to take some of this information with a pinch of salt.
Yeah. Things
like this and the app that you can never say the name of, good on you, because I went to say too good to go then. Good on you, like how they rank, how things are ranked in terms of whether it's a brand that's great at what they're doing or they're terrible on the sustainability scale. The things that they're ranked on aren't necessarily the best things to be ranked on, or they're great, but it doesn't show everything about the brand. And unless the information is readily available, or again, it's that transparency issue. Transparency doesn't mean that you are being sustainable. The other post that we're going to talk about is one by Aja Barber. I think she posted this 2 days ago, and it just says on the post in great big letters, transparency is not sustainability. And if, again, this is another self-proclaimed rant, but she goes on to, she raised the issue stating that one of the most problematic overproducing brands topped the report. And that line has really stuck out to me, because I was thinking, it's true. And I feel like there's two arguments to what she was talking about. So I think she said that a brand can be transparent but still be exploiting its workers and the environment. That's the other side of it. It's not just the workers, it's the environment as well. And if their business model is that of high sales equals high profits, if your whole business model is to sell, 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 profit, 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 how then can, even if you are being transparent, how are you looking at the greater good?
Yeah.
The other argument off the back of this, because I did have a read of some of the comments, and somebody commented saying that, and I think this is where Fashion Revolution are trying to get to with having the transparency index, where if brands are being more transparent, does that then mean that as consumers that we can make a more informed decision about our purchases? Or said that really with our purchases. Is that what this is all about? So if you can see what it is and if it's all laid there bare in front of you, are you then able to make a more conscious decision when you are making purchases or if you are affiliating yourself with a brand in any way? And I think their whole mindset as a company is transparency should lead to accountability, which should then like provoke some sort of change.
Yeah.
But it's there. I mean, Fashion Revolution do put on there, and they've put a disclaimer on there saying that they transparency is supposed to be a tool for change, not the end goal. Mm-hmm. But where's it? Transparency isn't the greatest thing for me. And my kind of personal view on it is that we should take these kind of indexes and these apps with a pinch of salt and maybe go back to asking more of the brands ourselves. So I'm glad that we are taking part in the Who Made My Clothes, and we have posts coming out off the back of that, because it is good to ask the question and to call out the brands, not in a negative way, but to just put the spotlight on them.
Yeah.
See who makes our clothes, what's in them as well. So yeah.
I think this is my issue sometimes with the sustainability movement and it being kind of inaccessible, because I just feel like this information is amazing, but we do have to take it, as you said, with a pinch of salt. And people who aren't part of this, you know, the sustainability movement and don't have a full understanding of it, will see this and be like, okay, cool, H&M are great to shop at, they're sustainable. And I know sustainability hasn't really been mentioned on the report because that's not what it's about, but everything always like comes in together.
Yeah.
So I think, again, I'm going to use the word confusing. I just think this isn't my issue with the Fashion Revolution report. This is my issue with sustainability in general, because it's a term that doesn't have like a official definition. It's really confusing for the general public. So
it's used so widely as well.
And there are different ways to be sustainable. And it's just this lack of understanding. It makes me quite sad because it makes people feel like they can't do things. And we discussed this in the Shopee episode.
Yeah.
Where we were talking about our sisters, and her specifically, she said that her sister doesn't follow sustainability because she feels
out of reach.
Yeah, it's out of reach, and she'd be judged because she's not fully sustainable. Da, da, da. And I guess this is why we launched this podcast, because we wanted to go deeper and help, you know, like normal people like us understand what sustainability actually means and how they can do little things to make changes. But I just think we need more conversation for like the general public and not specifically focused around A, retailers, and B, people who are part of the movement. So that's just my comment on this. But again, this episode isn't to bash anyone, because obviously everything that gets done is a step in the right direction. And I think it's amazing. And I did see some of the comments on Aja's post that went in and kind of bashed Fashion Revolution a bit. Yeah, and she made a big claim, like statement, said, this is not what this post was about. I'm like removing myself from this conversation because I'm not here to bash them. I'm just talking about, you know, the topic of transparency in general. So,
yeah. And I think people tend to, with confusion in mind, because the language is so vague that people aren't understanding exactly where the argument lies or what the topic at hand is, and they want to discuss sustainability as a wider thing, but there's so many nuances in it that it is confusing. And I think sustainability is such a wide term and it means so much to so many people. And going back to that, making it like it needs to be more attainable for people. Because you look at plus size women and men, there's not that much available for them in terms of sustainability. Mm-hmm. And bad enough, high street brands don't cater for everyone, let alone a sustainable brand. And then thinking about the budget aspect of it, sustainable brands are normally a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody, and as you said, sustainability looks different for everyone. It's not necessarily going out and buying
all these sustainable brands. It could just be shopping vintage, having your things for a longer time, mending your clothes. And I know that's kind of reflective of us and how we are as consumers, because I know that we're quite different in how we shop. I mean, do you want to give your, like, give your...
Yeah, this is really funny because I'm doing a live this afternoon with the Sustain Mag, and I'm talking about this pretty much. It's about accessible sustainability. So yeah, as B and I are quite different in that I am not anymore. I used to be when I was younger, but I'm not a big shopper. And I think that's mainly stemmed from starting my own business and having to be really tight with my money. I've always been really thrifty. Like, my mum raised me to be like that. And I know you have as well. But in the last like 3 years, I've become really tight and I've only bought things as and when I need them. And then as I've got more into being conscious with my shopping, I've then thought about sustainability and being more ethical. And that's kind of produced me who I am today. But I like to shop, I love to shop secondhand. You know, I've mentioned this many times, I love eBay. I live for eBay.
And you've reignited my fire.
Yeah, I love it. I love buying gems that people have. Like, there's two sides to it. I love buying gems that people have in their house that they haven't worn. Like, for my birthday, my boyfriend paid for me to buy, which sounds really weird, a Prada bag. And it's a vintage Prada bag from the noughties that this lady has had in her house forever and not used. And it's beautiful. It's pretty much the same as what the new, I can't remember what it's like.
The new style.
It's a nylon hobo, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's identical to what they're selling now. And I got it for a fraction of the price. And also, it's sustainable because I bought it from someone who's had it since, like, 2000, I think she got it in like 2001 or something. So, and that makes me happy because she has, you know, gifted that to me in a sense, even though I paid for it. So things like that really excite me. But then I also love finding trends and then buying them secondhand because I'm not really a trend piece kind of person.
Yeah.
I do wear pretty, like, unless I'm wearing bright colors and like flowers and stuff, it's stuff that can go on forever. I don't really like to buy a trend. I don't think I look good in most trends anyway. So if I do buy a trend or like a going out piece that I probably won't wear over and over again, I'll make sure that I do buy it
secondhand.
And I will purchase something from like Pretty Little Thing or somewhere like that, because whatever I do, they're still going to be making those goods. Like, I'm not going to, I am personally, by not buying from them. And I've never really been a big fan because they don't make clothes for my shape anyway.
Yeah.
It goes for big boob, big bum people. And I have neither of those. And, so if I were to buy something from eBay, that might be a Pretty Little Thing or a brand that's not necessarily sustainable or, you know, maybe even ethical. I will buy it from someone secondhand because they've bought it as a trend piece. They're not going to wear it again. They've used their one picture on Instagram and then they're going to pass it on. So I'm happy to be the person that they pass it on to. So that's how I shop. And then you do also do that, but then...
I think I used to be more like you. I've always been quite thrifty. I like to repurpose things. When I was younger, I fancied myself as a budding designer. Budded into anything. Like, I've got a bunch of half-made pieces. And also, I really hate sewing. I hate doing it. But now I've realised for me, I'd rather have less items and spend a little bit more on them if they've been made in a better way, if they've been made in a more ethical way, or there's less pieces being made. And that's a big thing for me. Like, I don't like when there's a million runs of everything. I want something that less people have, and you're less likely to bump into somebody on the high street wearing it.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I'd rather spend a little bit more, really get my use out of something. And then I am the queen of reselling. If I've bought something and I think to myself down the road, I'm like, I'm that person that would then sell to Charlotte, because I believe in the circular nature of fashion. I think we've been working on this linear model for too long where it's buy, wear, bin, when it should be buy, wear, resell, somebody else does it, and then it passes on to somebody else. and reduces that waste. And all right, if I've paid £200 for a dress and I sell it for 100, but I've got my, and then it's that cost per wear aspect is decreased essentially because I've resold it and made some money back, and then I can invest that in something else. To me, fashion has always been an investment, and this is why, and when we've discussed like designer handbags and stuff like that, I see them as an investment because I do resell my items. And I've just bought a Fendi bag on eBay as well.
It's so pretty.
I love my bag. And again, it's a vintage piece. I think it's 15 years old and it is authentic. And I paid barely anything for it. It was...
Well, relative to people's incomes.
Oh, yeah. No. But in terms of what the current bag is.
Yeah.
What the current version of that out is, it's still a lot of money. But in comparison to, I think the relevant one is that's out now is 1,400. And I paid less than £200 for it on eBay. So I'm just for the comparison, and I guess to put the perspective there. And again, it's sustainable. And we're not adding to landfill in that. So
I could imagine. Could you imagine if you had a Fendi bag, a Prada bag, and it went to landfill?
My heart. We like nice things. We still like nice things. Yeah. It's interesting to see that two of the brands that, especially in Black and minority ethnic groups, we've called out, like Gucci and H&M, they're actually seen as two of the more transparent or ethical, like they're going down the ethical road, like when it comes to brands. And it really baffles me because we still buy into that a little bit. So but
this is what I'm talking about with transparency. Like they did what they did and they've apologized for it. Yeah. So they were transparent. That's what that means. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. So yeah, it's a bit of a minefield.
Yeah. It made me think, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, when did H&M become okay again? Did we all just forget the memo that we weren't going to shop there? But I mean, I can't lie. I still liked H&M. I'm a terrible person.
It's tough. You have to, like, there are different types of people in this world and there are different types of people in each movement. And there are the hardcore radicals and then there are the kind of middle people and then there are the lighter side. And I just think, do what is right for you, do what makes you feel good, but know in your heart what your ethics are and if they're being if that message is being met.
Be mindful, be conscious, do what makes you happy, and just foresight before you make a decision. I guess don't act on impulse and don't shop on impulse.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Oh, that's actually really good. And are we finished? Because that's a great ending.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like this is a nice place to end. If anybody has any questions, comments, or would like to just chime in on this conversation, then please feel free to send us a DM, leave a comment on any of our posts. We are at Sustainably Influenced on Instagram. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to let Charlotte do the peace out.
Peace out. You can't see I did peace out, Eitan, but bye.
Bye.